Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Good morning. Welcome in. Along with Ruthie Polinsky, I am Mark Rohde. We are in for Mully and Haw. We ran out of guys named Mully and Haw, so we are in today.
Are you Mully or Haw?
I guess I'm Mully, since I'm sitting in the driver's
okay,
chair
I'm
right
Haw.
Now.
Okay.
So you're Haw.
Okay.
And we are here with you until 10 o'clock this morning on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We also welcome in our friends on Chicago Sportsnet, and we also welcome in, just because Mully is not here, that does not mean that Brad Biggs is not a valued friend and a valued customer on this show. And guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Biggsy, what's going on, man?
Morning, gang. What's going on?
Oh, you changed it up a little bit.
Morning, gang.
Because these are morning boys to good morning,
yeah,
gang.
Yeah, morning, gang. That's okay.
Yeah.
I could be a boy today if you
okay.
need me to.
All right. Whatever you need. We're trying to figure it out here, Brad. You just heard Dustin in his update talking about the injuries along the offensive line. We are trying to patch together what it might look like on Sunday, and all it led to basically was me and Ruthie just sort of listing guys and trying to figure out where they might fit in. What is your feel for this offensive line this week, and how much trouble could they be in if they're missing one or, God forbid, both of their tackles? Because neither Darnell Wright nor Braxton Jones practiced yesterday.
Yeah, well, that would be problematic, but the Patriots defense hasn't done a great job of rushing the passer. Neither had the Cardinals defense before. They played them a little different that they'll be at home this week and not on the road. But I think the situation with the offensive tackles is they're fortunate that it isn't going to be anything long-term with either one, I don't believe. If one of the two has a better chance of playing on Sunday, my guess is it's Darnell Wright, the right tackle. And if they can get one of them out there, I think they stick with what they did last week, and they have Larry Borum fill in. And so Larry would replace Braxton, who might need one more week for his knee issue. And the pass protection against Arizona, while not great, it was all right in the first half of that game. And I think the Cardinals got a beat on what the Bears were trying to do. And then obviously Darnell got hurt, and it was Katie bar the door. So if Darnell Wright can play, I got a feeling they'll be okay, but I don't know if he'll be available yet. If Darnell Wright cannot play, if they've got to replace two tackles, I think you'll see Larry at one of the spots. I would imagine, although they talked about not wanting to make more moves than necessary, I think you see Matt Pryor go from right guard to the outside, and then you've got to fill in the right guard. So that's either going to be Nate Davis or potentially Ryan Bates is activated from IR. He's practicing again this week, and they plug Bates in at right guard. And if I had to guess there, I guess I would guess Ryan Bates because Nate's fallen quite a bit out of favor for good reason.
Speaking of some injuries, I mean, we were talking about just how big the loss is of Andrew Billings and, you know, how he's kind of been this anchor of this defense, not just in the run game, but really, I think, made more of an impact in the pass rush as well. What do you make of just how they fill that void and who kind of needs to step up here, Biggsy?
Yeah, the Billings thing, that's really tough, and most people are pretty good about not trying to judge defensive tackles, especially nose tackles, by statistics, and that's going to be real tough to fill. Javon Dexter is going to need to be better against the run. It's going to have to be more stout, and then they're going to need a collection of guys to step in. Byron Cowart, who Has gotten some run inside there. Zach Pickens is going to have an opportunity. Chris Williams is more of a smaller three technique. His playing time's probably got to bounce up a little bit. Is it possible at some point they bring someone in? I guess that's an option too, but they're going to have to collectively be better as a defense playing the run, because missing him is going to hurt. And then they have struggled stopping the run the last 2 weeks, with Arizona popping them for over 200 yards, and Washington had, I think it was a 168 the week prior. That 168 is a little deceptive. The Commanders had a very long run on the final play of the first half, which was, you know, one of those, instead of throwing a Hail Mary, they kind of ran the ball. The guy, I think it was Eckler, got 30 yards or so. So that's really shouldn't count in there, because they were preventing the deep pass in that situation. But the run defense has been leaky, and it's going to be a problem with Billings out of there. And he was a really good leader for them too. And of course that'll be missed as well.
And the DeMarcado run never should have happened either.
Oh, I mean, awful!
Right? I mean, that is, you sort of had that lax feel to it as well. So it counts more than the other example you gave, Big Z, but that's of those where guys were just sort of thinking they were going to the locker room. That's the way I saw it, man. How did you see it?
Well, I mean, look, you saw the hole open up from the angle I had where I was seated, and you see the big hole, and you're like, oh, boy. And then you're looking at it, and you've got a red Cardinals jersey on every Bears jersey.
Every Bears
like
jersey.
There's a hat on a hat, and like, oh, wow. Mm. And nobody could fight off the block. And so, yeah, that was problematic. And, you know, they're facing a Patriots offense that isn't explosive this week. I think Drake May has shown some ability, but statistically, you know, New England's been pretty dreadful. The Bears need this to be a bounce back spot. They need to get some confidence back in the building, and then see what they can do when they've got to go head first in the divisional play.
How responsible is Caleb Williams for the offense essentially not working in the last couple of weeks?
Well, everybody's got a part in it. Everybody. Shane Waldron, Caleb, the wide receivers, the offensive line that we've just talked about. I mean, the running backs. Eberflus has got a hand in it. I mean, everybody's got a part in it. But he's, you know, you go back to that Washington game, and really until the fourth quarter, he looked kind of jumpy out there, a little frenetic, not playing in any sort of rhythm. And you know, there were some clear throws from the Arizona game, again, before Wright went out and the pass rush was all over him, where he was missing pretty wide of the mark. And there were some drops in there as well. So, yeah, he's got a hand in this too. You can't look at a struggling passing offense and say, well, quarterback's being hosed by everybody here. No, he's got a part in it too. But the Waldron will talk today. I don't know that we'll hear any solutions or answers. If he had some, they probably would have tried to put him to work by now. But I thought there was a decent chance coming out of that game that they might shift up the play calling. Wow. Because it's just been really disjointed. And you talk to people around the league who, you know, take a look at it, and they not good.
Sacked 6 times in Arizona. He's been sacked 29 times this season. How much of that is learning when to throw it away? And also, are you starting to get this sense? I felt like yesterday at the podium was the first time that I felt like Caleb Williams looked like he was a little beaten up, a little worn down. And I think that's somewhat triggering for Bears fans, because it's something that's happened here. It's sort of a pattern. What do you make of just kind of the way of his demeanor and the way he's handling kind of the negative energy in the building right now?
Yeah, I think he's handling it better than previous quarterbacks have.
Yeah.
And when I say previous quarterbacks, I'm talking plural there, not just one. I mean, there's certainly some instances where out of those 29 sacks, you're going to take a fraction of those and you're going to hang them on him because mm-hmm. the ball should have been out or he should have done something clearly different. I think he had gotten away from trying to throw it in reverse to escape pressure in the pocket. And we've seen a couple instances here lately of him trying to do that again. And that doesn't work in the NFL. You can get away with that in college because you're more athletic than most of the other guys on the field. In the NFL, you know, they've got people coming after the quarterback that are more athletic than he is. And so, he's got to avoid that. I like how he's wired. And I don't think they're dealing with a problem there. It's just, they've got to find something they can hang their hat on in that passing game and something that can start working. Like this DJ Moore thing is a mystery to me, guys.
Yeah.
You look at, he had real fine production against his former team, the Carolina Panthers, 105 yards, the 2 touchdowns. We all saw it. You look at the other 4 games in the stretch here, 22 yards, 20 yards, 27 yards, 33 yards. Like that just doesn't compute. And something's clearly off there. And he's got to get going, right? Yeah. Like if it's Keenan Allen, you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, well, he's in year 12 and maybe he's running out of gas and he's in a new place, but like DJ's got to get going. They just paid him. Like he was super fired up and he's halfway through the season and he's got 374 yards.
Are you ready to move on from all the chatter about, you know, him running out of bounds on that play? He claims he rolled his ankle. What do you make of just kind of his demeanor feels off to me?
Yeah, sure. He rolled his ankle. It doesn't mean it's not a bad look. Right. And because he set out one play and then he ran an over route the play after that. So you can't put that on tape. Like, yeah, that's a bad look. And, I'm curious if more was made about it in the building than the team has let on, but they need to move on. Yeah, it's just odd. Like it's just another thing in this kind of the struggles that he's having that just seems off. And I don't think it's a disconnect like it's some higher level with Caleb. I wonder if there's a disconnect with Waldron, but hopefully they can start connecting. And you know, you don't need to see him go for $150 twice a month, but you'd like to see him have some games where it's like, okay, 6 catches for 88 yards and a touchdown, and feel like they're being productive, targeting him in the offense, especially for some explosive plays and in the red zone.
Now I want to circle back to what you said about Shane Waldron, that you said, you know, you talk to guys around the league and it's not good. And I think that we as a like Bears fans and maybe to the media to some extent as well, we are scared to death going back to Trubisky and then to Justin Fields and now Caleb Williams. We are scared to death to blame the quarterback because everybody wants the quarterback to be good, right? So then we turn to the offensive coordinator. But what are you hearing, and what specifically do you think Shane Waldron is doing wrong and evidently not putting the players in a position to succeed? Why is he not getting a pass and the quarterbacks usually do, at least early on in their 10 years with the Bears?
Well, the quarterbacks always get – like that's the last thing people want to admit to be off here. And I'm not saying Caleb is off here, but you see it – you saw it with Mitch. You really saw it with Justin. And I think when people look at the people I've talked to that have watched them play look at it, and they see a series of play calls. Like, they don't see a plan. They don't see, okay, here was the clear strategy. Like, and people who do this for a living, like, they can pick up on it, right? They could say, oh, all right, well, this was the opponent. Here's what they were trying to do. And it's seemingly more difficult to determine for these folks when they're looking at Waldron, and obviously what they're doing is not clicking with a whole lot of success. You know, you've got talented skill position people, DJ, Rome, Cole, Keenan, DeAndre Swift. There's no valid explanation for the inability to get more production out of them. Are you going to have one or two guys each week where you're like, well, boy, they didn't do a lot with him? Yeah, there's only one football, right? You can only use it so many different ways when you're getting 60 to 65, if you're lucky, maybe 70 snaps a game. But just kind of looks like a hodgepodge. And the offensive line issues are part of it. There's a learning curve, and you expect some challenges with a rookie quarterback. But I think what Waldron's done has been clearly underwhelming to this point.
What do you make of Cole Kmet disappearing in this offense? I mean, this just seems to me like an easy answer. If we got to get something going, let's get the ball to Cole. Like, that to me is just
quarterback's best friend, right?
Yeah, that's supposed to be.
After the running game, right, the quarterback's next best friend is probably that big, reliable target that's there in the middle of the field, right? And that's what Cole is. I said this, Ruthie, the other day. They had they'd done a really nice job getting him a ghost outfit for Halloween, and he wore it, you know, instead of wearing it the once, he wore it twice. It just doesn't add up. I mean, is Cole going to be out there and be the most dynamic pass catching tight end in the league? No, and he would never claim to be that guy. But he's pretty darn good, and he's got some ability after the catch. And I'm sure he's been the primary read on more than one play in the last two games, and for a variety of reasons, the ball hasn't come his way. But that's just the kind of thing that you look at and it sticks. There's too many things that stick out and look obtuse. When Cole was outplayed in terms of snap count by Gerald Everett in the opener, and now he's not getting the ball, and you're seeing what's going on with DJ, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, boy, I don't know what the plan is. I have a very difficult time believing at this point the players have huge buy-in in what they're doing, because it doesn't seem to be working. Maybe they go out Sunday and they put it together. Maybe they can get a touchdown in the first quarter, establish some run-pass balance against the Patriots, and get on track, because they really need to at this midpoint in the season before this schedule turns pretty difficult against some talented divisional opponents.
I know it sounds like that maybe it would be wise for the Bears to change play caller, but there's no way they're going to do that this year. Would they, Biggs, just because?
I think it would probably, my guess would be Thomas Brown, the passing game coordinator. It's a last ditch effort, right? That's a last ditch effort. And they're 4-4 right now. So they're a 60-minute game away from being above 500 with some frustrating losses mixed in there. With the inability to this point to really do anything when they travel away from Soldier Field, but get to 5-4 and see what you can do. Like, you've got two home games coming up after that. Maybe they can put something together here, because they've got the talent to be competitive against these good teams. They've just got to go out and find a way to win. They, you know, but we can't keep hearing them talk about the meetings they're having. Like, I don't know that they have more meetings than all these other teams. I do know that they talk about their meetings more than anyone else.
That's right. Lead the league in meetings.
Yes. Yeah. I've just been talking
about the meetings. Like,
It's
talking about, like, okay, that's great. Right. Like, we had a meeting at work today too.
Right.
Cool.
It's the Monday after a game. You probably should have a meeting. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
TCB taking care of business. Biggs, this was great, man. We'll see you out at the hall. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Biggs.
All right, thanks. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too. That is Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune. Always good stuff. Like, it is alarming when I heard Biggs say, you know, you talk to people around the league and not good, because a lot of times I think it's just our own little insular bearsdom where it's just sport to rip on the offensive coordinator. But when other guys around the league are seeing it and saying, what the hell are the Bears doing? That's where my antennas go up. Let's follow that up, Ruthie. When we come back, let's hear from both Caleb Williams and from DJ Moore on where things are going wrong on the field. And while we're at it, we will play the DJ Moore explanation, too, of going out of bounds, the bad look, as Big said. And I think you and I agree on that as well.
Absolutely.
That is Ruthie Polinsky. I am Mark Grody. We're in for Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, I don't know. We just got to get back to scoring. We just had a game where Cairo had all the points, and I mean, that leaves a sour taste in our mouth, but we want to go out there and score touchdowns for the team, the fans, the organization, which we need to do at any cost, whether it's throwing the ball, running the ball, defensive touchdown. Somebody got to score some touchdowns.
Yeah, man, because it's a talented team, and I think part of the problem or the angst or the multiple meetings that we're talking about is this team knows it's talented, knows it's good, and we know how fast things change in the NFL, and this group of players is not going to be together next year. Keenan Allen's not going to be on this team next year. You're probably going to have different pieces on the offensive line. I know that's not where we are circling the great talent, but that's the underlying reason for all of the angst from the players, which, Ruthie, I think is essentially a good thing because they care. And they know that they're good, and there's this sense of they're wasting it. And she is Ruthie Polinsky. I'm Mark Grody. We're from Mully and Haw on The Score.
I don't blame them, right, for being frustrated, as you mentioned. And of course, you know what you're capable of, right, when you're a confident, talented player. So it's just kind of, I'm just curious, where is this frustration targeted? And that, to me, is sort of the big mystery right now of, is it Shane Waldron? Is it Matt Eberflus? Is it Caleb Williams? Is it, you know, where is this frustration being taken out? And that, I think, is what, listen, wins and a good game, everything's better. Like, everything's fixed, you know, but those two losses, I think it may have just kind of been a way for DJ Moore and others to release sort of some frustration that was building up even while they were winning.
Yeah.
And so, listen, I think that's the missing piece right now.
Yeah, and they're both games you should have won. I mean, obviously you should have won the Washington game. I mean, that's ridiculous that you lose that game. And then, you know, pound for pound, you are a better roster than Arizona, but you were pantsed by that day. Yeah. You got whooped by them, no doubt about it. Arizona was way better than the Bears on that day. Let me read you the DJ Moore numbers quickly. Every game to game this year. First game against Tennessee, 5 catches, 36 yards, 0 touchdowns. Houston game, 6 catches, 53 yards, 0 touchdowns. The Indianapolis game, 8 catches, 78 yards, a little better, 0 TDs. The game against Los Angeles, 3 catches, 22 yards, did have a touchdown in that game. There was the Carolina game that Biggs referred to. 5 catches, 105 yards, 2 TDs. Everybody thought, okay, finally, there's the connection with Caleb Williams. But no, the next week against Jacksonville, 4 catches, 20 yards, 0 touchdowns. Washington game, 2 catches, 27 yards. That was a team against which last year he had 200 yards and dominated, and they couldn't find him. Arizona game this past week, 4 catches for 33 yards. So let's ask DJ Moore,
what to you is going on with you and Caleb Williams and your on-the-field chemistry?
I mean, just knowing who we're going against, the one-on-one matchups that we might have throughout the game, and then understanding on the back end the reads and where we're at in situations where he's going through the read and how fast I got to be or how slow I got to be to stay in his vision, stuff like that. So, I mean, that's the little details I can think of.
Is there any reason why your connection with Justin was like immediate? As soon as you walk on the field and here it's a little bit arduous?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, just reps. You can say Justin had more reps than when I got here than me and Caleb have. Just him being a rookie quarterback, and Justin wasn't a rookie quarterback last year.
Remember, like, healthy disagreement between Caleb and you and maybe Keenan, like the veteran guys on the team, on how things should be done on an individual play, like him coming from where he is and you guys being veteran players. Is there ever that sort of debate that goes on with you guys?
Yeah, you got a little bit of that, you know, but he might see things differently than we do, which – I mean, everybody does, and we just got to find a happy medium on what routes we want at certain depths and stuff like that, and that's what we're still trying to figure out.
To me, that's the biggest thing, Ruthie. I think that there is this, and I do want to call it healthy, tug of war going on between a world-class quarterback coming into the NFL. Obviously, his merits come from college, but a guy who, and Caleb Williams, who is a winner, who is considered a generational quarterback, who is a Heisman Trophy winner, who has been talked about for the last 2 years. He's got a way of doing things that has been hyper-successful. So does DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and to a lesser extent, Cole Kmet. So I do think that there is this thing. And DJ Moore said it earlier this year, like, Caleb getting bossy, and we're going to do it Caleb's way. I think that they're still settling that. It's not settled the way they do things, and that's where the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach and any assistant become really important, because they're the ones that have to impose their will and get this thing right.
I know that DJ meant that he and Justin, that Justin had more reps before DJ got here. I know that's what right. He meant by that comparison versus I've had more reps with – I had more reps with Justin than I had with Caleb coming in. That's because that doesn't make sense, right?
Right.
Like, they both had one off season together. So I think, but to me, Justin was Justin. Caleb Williams is, you know, as you were mentioning, this highly, he's got things that worked. And I almost wonder, and Justin, I guess, had experience in the system before Luke Getsy, you know, because he was with Luke Getsy that season prior to DJ, right? Yeah. So I think there is, as you mentioned, I think Caleb is maybe trying to have more command over what he likes and what he doesn't like versus what maybe Justin, and maybe that's a personality difference. But it's also like Justin Fields wasn't this highly touted, once in a lifetime arm talent coming in. I mean, he was very talented and athletic and
agreed,
a high draft pick, and love Justin Fields. But I'm just saying, I think as Caleb, you know, DJ calling Caleb bossy to me says that he hasn't worked with a quarterback that has maybe expressed his needs as much as Caleb does. Am I calling Caleb Williams high maintenance? Maybe, but guess what? He's allowed to be as the number one overall pick and the guy that is coming in as, you know, as acclaimed and as, you know,
yeah,
celebrated as he already is.
Here's the other thing. Like, we're going to go back to Justin Fields. DJ Moore was it. Like, Darnell Mooney was not working with Justin Fields. Tyler Scott was a disappointment relative to what we saw him do in training camp last year. Like, his regular season with some of the drops, and subsequently we're not seeing Tyler Scott involved in the offense much at all. But Justin Fields was so happy when DJ was like, oh, finally, I got somebody, because it didn't work out with Allen Robinson. Who knows? Like, I still want to know more about that fade away from Allen Robinson and the chemistry that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. But that DJ Moore was the guy in that wide receiver room, and he liked that. He liked that a lot. That he was it, man. He was number one with a bullet. Now you come into this season and you've got DJ Moore, you've got Keenan Allen, you got this guy named Roma Dunze, and you got this guy named Cole Kmet as well, Gerald Everett to a lesser degree, and some of the other receivers as well. I think that there is some difficulty with Caleb Williams trying to make everybody happy. When DJ Moore gets his 100 yards, then the very next week, myself included, we're like, what about Keenan Allen? Where's he? And then sure. then he has his two touchdown games. So everybody has had, each of those wide receivers has had a big game, but there is this it's my turn thing going on, and I'm sure that gets in Caleb Williams' head, and DJ Moore's like, I don't care, I still want mine.
I agree. I hear you. I think DJ Moore is very clearly wide receiver one, right? Like, he has established himself 100%. At the top of that, 100%. All of that.
If he's not the leading receiver by the end of this year,
it's a problem.
It's a problem that the Bears will not be in the playoffs.
So, to me, I hear you on the, you know, share the ball and everyone wants their touches, but DJ Moore needs to be the priority. And if DJ Moore is feeling frustrated because he feels like he is not the priority of getting the ball in his hands, then he has some validity. He has some validity in his emotions and feelings toward that.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And that is the wide receiver life. Let's hear now from Caleb. We just heard from DJ Moore on his philosophy on what's going on. Let's hear what Caleb Williams thinks about the issues on the on-field chemistry with DJ Moore.
Yeah, obviously it's not in a place from the past games, a place where we would like it, both of us. It's frustrating because you got a guy so special and not being able to connect and hit on certain passes is frustrating for myself. And I know it's frustrating for him because as a wide receiver especially, you only get but so many chances, so many times the ball comes your way in a game and things like that. So I wouldn't put it past him that it's frustrating, you know, but we got to figure it out.
Specifically with the one instance the other day where you threw back shoulder and he was still running vertical, what did you guys iron out in terms of what you saw versus what he saw on that play?
I think it comes down to just talking and communicating more. We talk all the time. We laugh and joke all the time and things like that. But I think it, you know, talking a little bit more about and communicating a little bit more about, you know, specifics of you know, ways I see it, ways he see it, ways he's seen it. And then, you know, keep going from there.
Texter says here, Ruthie, that DJ loved having Justin as his is his QB. And I'm going somewhere with this. And I know everybody's like, stop talking about Justin. He did because of the experience that he had, as he mentioned, that Justin Fields had been in the league a couple of years already. By the time they were together, he was the ace receiver, without a doubt. Nobody else really needed the ball. I say all this to say I remember talking to DJ Moore last year on the record. And when we were towards the end of the season, when it looked like Justin Fields was on the way out and there was, you know, the Bears are probably going to draft a quarterback, whomever it might be, one of the things that he said, and he wasn't singling out Caleb, it was a general statement, was no matter, and I'm paraphrasing, no matter who it is, we're going to have to deal with the rookie pains and the development. And he was kind of, and I'm using this word, he didn't, like, I inferred that he was dreading the idea that whoever the quarterback was, that here's this guy, DJ Moore, in his absolute prime, who has been paid, who at this point clearly just wants to win. Like, wants to win and get his numbers along the way. So in other words, DJ Moore knew this was coming. So if we're reading into some of his body language and some of the things that have not looked great, like, I can draw from that public statement that DJ Moore kind of knew that whoever the quarterback was this year, this was what was going to happen.
I think I may have been there that day that you had that conversation. And I think that was also the conversation where DJ Moore said, whoever it is, I'm pretty sure our guy's better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean,
didn't he say
you
that?
You mean in terms of like supporting Justin
Fields,
he's like, right?
Yes. He was in Justin Fields' camp. He was 100%. Team Justin. And of course, like, when he's your quarterback in your locker room, of course you're going to stand by your guy. But that was an interesting, you know, whoever it is, you know. So I think there's this whole, you know, just, I think we all know that the Bears needed to move on. At this point, I think it's pretty clear. Maybe, actually, some people probably disagree with me after the last two games. But I think it's pretty clear. I said this yesterday on the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN.
Sick.
I said, there was no option for Ryan Poles other than to draft Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
this offseason, if he wouldn't have drafted Caleb Williams, he would have been massacre. I mean, it would have been riots in the street. Like, it would have been chaos based on the uproar and the excitement over Caleb Williams. So I think I hear you, and I kind of just went off on a tangent there. But to bring this all full circle, I think the DJ Moore frustration when it comes to what's happening now, I think when it comes to getting him the ball, he wants to win. This is a guy that wants to win.
Absolutely.
But I think he also knows that the path to winning is putting the ball in my hands.
Yeah.
And we've seen it, right? In all the Bears' big wins last season, DJ Moore was productive.
Right.
So I think that's probably where a lot of the frustration is. It's DJ's like, this is an easy answer, guys. Just give me the ball and mm-hmm. we're good. And so obviously that's a confident player that's saying that. And Caleb Williams, listen, I mean, a lot of our texters are saying Caleb needs to learn how to take the layup, right? He needs to stop. He needs to do less. And I think if he can figure out a way to just find the easy read, throw the ball, get the ball in the hands of your best playmakers, you don't need to be running around and scrambling and take your first read, take the check down, like see whatever you're seeing and get the ball out of your hands so that you're not taking the hits. And oftentimes that probably is going to be DJ.
Yeah. For the Texans, I'm not letting Caleb off the hook.
Right.
Caleb struggled the last 2 weeks. He's been inaccurate. I mean, he had in the second quarter, that second quarter drive after the 44-yard bomb to Rome Odunze with the defense breaks down, he missed then Rome Odunze and Keenan Allen both in the back of the end zone, uncharacteristically, like going back to his college film, like the inaccuracies have been interesting and a little bit alarming. Here's what he said. Let's listen to what Caleb Williams said about specifically some of the inaccuracies that he's been having this year.
To what do you attribute, if you agree, that there's been some inaccuracy in the last couple of weeks with your game?
Yeah. You're asking what attributes to that?
Yeah. Why have you been inaccurate?
I think partly is been the same page and being able to find ways before, after practice, during practice, to be able to talk over a little bit more, to be able to get those routes ran in practice, to be able to first different coverages and things like that, shells and one highs and cover twos and cover fours and things like that, and how they'll run it. And most likely running and you know, the way there's ways that the wide receivers are going to attack the defense. And then, I think from there, that would help. And then, you know, some throws just giving my guys a chance, like the one to DJ down the sideline that I missed slightly out of bounds, tried to throw him a perfect ball. Instead, you know, give your 7 year, 6 year guy, a shot at making a catch.
Ruthie, it's just the same stuff. It's the on-field chemistry. Clearly, these two guys get along. You and I see them hobnobbing in the locker room. There's no issue, like, personally, but they're still trying to figure things out.
Clearly.
Yep. We need to take a break. It is Mark Grody and Ruthie Polinsky. We are in for Mully and Haw. We'll talk more Bears next on The Score.
Obviously, I want to be involved in the offense and make plays where I can, but sometimes it's just how the game flows here and there, and you know, it is what it is. I know that it's not a conscious effort to not give me the football. It's just kind of sometimes how things play out, and you know, it takes all 11 from that standpoint. So I think it just kind of is what it is, and I try not to get frustrated with that stuff just because I know that there's a lot that goes into it. So it's just being ready for it, and you know, if it's not getting a target for a while, like it's always important to keep your head in the game, because the moment you get frustrated with things, it, you know, and the ball does come your way, and sometimes a bad thing happens if you take your head out of it. So it's just important to stay locked in always.
That is Cole Kmet. We were talking about DJ Moore needing more touches, and then you go through. Man, I hate to keep doing this morning, Ruthie Polinsky, but the game log: Tennessee game for Cole Kmet, one target. The Houston game, five targets. Then the Indianapolis game. There you go. I see you. 11 targets, 10 catches in that game. That was a good one for Cole Kmet. Then against the Rams, three targets, four targets against Carolina, five targets against Jacksonville. That was a good game, though.
And he was the long snapper.
Yeah, and he was the snapper. That was an awesome game for
awesome
him.
Awesome game.
But then against Washington, one target, zero targets in the game
against Arizona. So it's
inexcusable.
It's inexcusable and odd because you would think that Caleb Williams would want that outlet, but I guess that goes with his personality and being ambitious and wanting to get the ball down the field, which ultimately we all want to see for sure. We'll talk more about it coming up. I'm Mark Grody. She is Ruthie Polinsky of the Big Pro Football Show on the Chicago Sports Net. We are in from Mullion Haw on The Score.